Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. We need to be challenged. I said we need to be challenged. I was talking to someone a couple days ago, and I got on his nerves. And I don't care. He needed to be challenged. And I said to him, if I don't push you, who's going to push you? Are you mad because I want you to do better? We need to be challenged. Now, some of us ought to go home tonight, and we ought to determine we're going to stop getting mad at people that are pushing us to be better. We need to be challenged. And sometimes we don't jump higher until the bar is raised. So here in Philippians chapter 4 tonight, we're going to be challenged. We're not in here just trying to throw you little nuggets spiritually that are easy to attain. We want to understand that living for God takes commitment. So we need to be challenged. This is not a massage parlor. It's New Testament church. Sanctify them by thy truth, for thy word is truth. Sometimes the truth hurts. We need to be challenged. So God needs to push us to dynamics and elements in the Christian life where we're not just kind of sliding to. I mean, we need to go some places with Jesus on purpose. Amen. And they need to cost us. They need to require some sweat out of us. So we're going to be challenged from the word of God here in a little bit. We start off with the good stuff here, and then we'll be challenged. Be careful for nothing. Verse 6, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. And the God of peace shall be with you. Let the church say amen. Father, add thy blessing to the reading of your word. Cleanse me of sin. Thank you that I can ask you to do that because of the blood of Jesus. Empty me of self and fill me with your spirit. Help me to be a blessing. Hide me behind the cross of Christ. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing. We've dealt several weeks, if you would, with the subject, the power of correct thinking. Generally speaking, we're dealing with this book, Philippians, this letter from Paul in prison to the church at Philippi on the subject of joy. And over and over and over again, Paul is showing us how to have joy. Everybody in the building wants joy, don't we? Amen. And yet we want it, but we don't often have it. And it's because we're not getting it God's way. He challenged us that joy comes from a single mind. Joy comes from a submissive mind. Joy comes from a spiritual mind. And here in this last chapter, joy comes from a secure mind. See, if your mind is not secure, you won't have joy. If your mind's all over the place, you won't have joy. If your mind is not guarded, you won't have joy. If your mind is not properly protected, you won't have joy. Many Christians are losing the battle in their minds every single day, and they're not enjoying joy. Paul is showing us correct thinking. It comes from a personal esteem about other people. He got his mind off himself. You think correctly when you get your mind off yourself. Say amen. Several times he called them beloved, my joy and crown, my brethren, verse 1, my dearly beloved. You learn to love other people, amen, you will learn how to have joy. His pointed exhortation about correcting these disputes within the body between Euodias and Syntyche. She simply says we need to deal with it. Our lives are too short to be disputing about insignificant things. We need to learn how to get those things right and move on for the Lord. The petitioned endeavor, verse number 3. He says to his yoke fellow, I believe it was Epaphroditus, help some folk. Amen. You do get joy when you help other people. You get joy when you're pouring your life into other people. In one verse, he talked about these women who needed to be corrected. And in the next verse, he talked about the same women who needed to be commended. Now listen to me. No one person every single time needs to be corrected. Sometimes people need to be commended. And let's be careful that we don't do so much correcting that we do so little commending. Every once in a while, you ought to tell somebody how he's a blessing to you. Tell someone what she did for you. Commend someone. I enjoyed your song. I enjoyed your message. I see your heart. I see where you're burdened. I see what you're involved in. It may not be your thing, but it will be okay with you and okay with God if you'd help somebody with their thing. Amen. Passionate encouragement in verse number 4. Rejoice in the Lord. Let's say that together. Rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord. Amen. If you're going to rejoice, you're just going to rejoice. And nobody's going to stop you. You got your alabaster box, you're going to break it, and nobody's going to stop you. If God's been good to you and you're going to say it, nobody's going to stop you. If you're excited about the goodness of God, you're going to tell people, and nobody's going to stop you. And if you don't tell people, you stopped yourself. Amen. I'm saying we need to start rejoicing in the Lord. Not rejoicing just because, rejoicing in the Lord. And there's always something about the Lord to rejoice about. Amen. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, we're talking about correct thinking. You will think better when you spend more time rejoicing. Did you do any of that this week? The proper expression, if you would, verse 5, your moderation, your gentleness, your submission, your ability not to be so harsh should be made known unto all men. Amen. How many people saw your moderation this week? Well, I'm not a pushover. I ain't no chump. Ain't nobody. Wait a minute now. Paul said, let your moderation be known unto all men. Some people are looking to see Jesus and how you have moderation. Amen. Let it be known. Why? The Lord's at hand. He's coming again. If you believe that, say amen. Now, verse number 6, last week. Prayerful essentials or prayer essentials. I'm trying to think correctly. Paul says, here's a way to do it. Learn how to pray. Listen to me now. Prayer will help your thinking. Prayer essentials. How do I pray? Refused stress. Be careful for nothing. The word anxiety. The word anxious. The Sermon on the Mount. Take no thought. That's what Jesus said on the Sermon on the Mount. Take no thought. Literally means do not be anxious. In other words, don't be anxious about the things that are up to God to fix. Don't be anxious about your clothes and your food. God takes care of the lilies. And if his eye is on the sparrow, I know he's watching me. Now here's what Paul says. You're getting ready to go to God and you're getting ready to ask God for something. But before you approach the throne of God, you got to take that stress and that anxiety and that weighing you down and set it aside and say, I'm getting ready to talk to a God who can do anything, so I don't need to approach him like he can't do it before I even ask him. Refuse stress. Amen. Requesting sincerity, he said, through everything by prayer, devoted adoration, supplication, desperate asking. Amen. And thanksgiving, definite appreciation. By the way, we need to spend more time telling God how much we appreciate him. Amen. Thanking God. Thanking God. Aren't you glad he does so much for us that we can thank him for? Don't wait till Thanksgiving. Every day is Thanksgiving. Amen. I mean, you ought to be thankful, thankful, thankful. With everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. By the way, you ought not thank God, only thank God for what he's done when you pray, but you ought to thank God for what he's going to do. But in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. I'm simply saying that when you're praying to God about doing something, you ought to already start thanking him for doing it before he does it. Amen. That's an element of faith. God, I'm on my knees and I need you to save somebody. But while I'm asking you to save somebody, I'm thanking telling you that you're going to save somebody. I'll tell you, we'd have better thought life if when we prayed, we actually believed that God was going to answer. And before he did, we'd already say thank you. Amen. What a God. Let your request be made known unto God, the reachable sovereign. Aren't you glad he's on the main line? Now tonight, write down number 7, peaceful experience. Wow. Peaceful experience. Verse 7, and the peace of God. Somebody thank God for peace. Whew. If you're taking notes tonight, write down an intimate calm. Wow. Is it possible to have a calm in the midst of chaos? That's what peace is. Now, peace is not the absence of problems. It's the presence of calm. Come on. It is not the absence of problems. It's the presence of calm. Peace doesn't mean there aren't any storms. Peace means that the storms can't steal your peace. The storms can't steal your calm. Listen to me. Aren't you glad that God is the eye of the storm? Amen. He knows what he's doing. And sometimes we are waiting for the problems to pass to have peace. Peace can come in the midst of the storm. He said, and the peace. Thank God that when we are thinking properly, we can enjoy intimate calm. He says, and the peace. Thank God for peace. The world does not understand peace. Amen. But you and I that know the Lord, we can experience peace. It's an intimate calm that comes from an infinite conception. He says, the peace of God. Amen. Thank God that true peace always originates with God. Nobody can give you peace. No place can manufacture peace. No person can produce peace. Nobody can sell peace. Nobody can loan you peace. Peace comes from God. And I'm glad that even in my trials, God can give me peace. It's an intimate calm. It has an infinite conception. It has an impossible comprehension. Look at the verse. The peace of God, which passeth all understanding. Huh. Somebody's, people, by the way, people cite the peace of God all the time. Be quick to tell somebody what they got peace about. Hey, let me tell you something. Here's a good way of knowing when it's the peace of God. When it doesn't make human sense. Now, I'm not talking about doing something crazy. Listen, I'm talking about when everything around you should have you panicking, but you're not falling apart. You know it's the peace of God when the people of God are coming up to you and trying to usher you into panic. What's wrong with you? You need to shake. Act more nervous about what you're going through. Have you ever heard some well-intentioned Christians trying to do it? I don't understand. You should be shaking. You should be nervous. Why you ain't crying? What are you doing here in church? All you going through, you listen to me. That's why you don't understand it. It's the peace of God. It passeth all understanding. It doesn't make sense that I can have a smile in the midst of my trials. It doesn't make sense that I can give joyfully when I don't know where the money's coming from. It doesn't make sense when I've got a loved one going through a tough time and I've still got joy. It doesn't make sense when I've had a rough week, when I'm standing in the choir with my hand in the air. You can't explain it. You can't manufacture it. Man can't give it to you. It's the peace of God that passeth all understanding. Amen. The impossible comprehension. And then write this down, the incredible consolation. Here's what it does. It keeps your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Yeah, the word keep there in the Greek is the word phario. It literally means to keep in custody. To keep in custody. Write down, here's what the peace of God does. It gives us sure possession. It gives us safe protection. And the sure possession and the safe protection are all based on the supreme person. Would you say amen there? Aren't you? Listen. I know what you're thinking. Pastor, I could serve God like I wanted to, but I'm losing my mind. Here's what Paul says. If you'll refuse to stress and you will request in sincerity, if you'll quit worrying and you'll start praying, if you'll pray adoring God. I said, if you'll pray adoring God. That's what we heard tonight. If you'll pray standing in awe. Don't just jump on your knees and say, give me this and give me that. Why don't you get on your knees and tell him who he is to you? Amen. I am. Amen. If you'll pray in adoration, if you'll pray in asking, if you'll pray in appreciation, if you'll thank God for what he's going to do, if you'll know that you're going to get through, here's what God's peace will do. It will keep in custody your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. In other words, you won't have to lose your mind because God will make sure he keeps it in custody. I'm glad as a Christian, it is not my job to keep my mind. It is my job to lean on God, and God keeps my mind. You know why you keep losing it? Because it's not yours to keep. And I think sometimes we will weary ourselves trying to keep our mind, keep your minds and hearts. And really, you can take those words somewhat interchangeably there. The word heart literally means your mind, emotions, and will. Keep your mind and heart. You go through a week out there in that world without leaning on God, you will lose your mind. And you have to admit, Pastor, sometimes I come to church, I'm losing my mind. Tell the truth. Yeah. You know why? You need some peace. And you're not going to get it unless you lean on God. You're not going to get it unless you learn how to pray. And we talked about last week, praying consistently. Did you hit your knees and beg God this week? Did you beg God for anything this week? I told somebody this week, I prayed for you about something and God heard me. And the person said, he sure did, because it got better. Praise his holy name. I mean, is it just vain repetitions? Just saying words to say them? Are you getting a hold of God? Are you desperate? Do you need God? God shouldn't be your last option. He should be your only option. Amen. Don't run to him after nothing else works. Run to him because he's the only thing that does work. Amen. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. I'm not going to lose my mind. God is keeping my mind. Amen. Prayer essentials. Now, tonight, what I want to concentrate on for a few minutes is what I call pondering endeavor. There's an endeavor that you and I are going to have to make when it comes to our pondering that's going to determine our correct thinking. Now, remember, this whole section up to this point, verse 1 all the way down here, is talking about correct thinking. And now, in verse number 8, he's going to actually use the word think. You follow me? He's going to tell us what to think. But the whole section is on how to think. Now, hear your pastor now. There are children of God who are jumping into Philippians chapter 4 in verse number 8 and listening to Paul under inspiration of the Holy Spirit say, think like this. And here's what most Christians are saying. I hear you, Paul, but I just can't pull it off. I mean, I hear you telling me this is why I need to think, but I tell you what, I try all the time, and it just doesn't turn out that way. You know why? Because you need to live verses 1 through 7, too. See, you can't just wake up tomorrow morning and tell your mind, think this way, if you have no connection with loving people. Huh? If you won't deal with disputes the way God wants them dealt with. You can't just tell your mind to think any kind of way if you're not helping others as they serve the Lord. You can't tell your mind to think any kind of way if you're not rejoicing in the Lord. You can't tell your mind to think any kind of way if your moderation is not being made known. And you can't tell your mind to think if you don't know how to pray. You can't tell your mind to think if you don't have peace. I'm saying you got to live verses 1 through 7 before you think you're just going to jump in and live verse 8. Now, here's the pondering endeavor. Write these things down. He gives us, first of all, particular descriptions. about subjects particular. The first set of descriptions about subjects are about your inward character. Your inward character. Can I tell you, character counts? Character is who you are on the inside. Amen. Now notice what he speaks about inward character. Finally, my brethren, whatsoever things are, first word, whatsoever things are what? True. Write this down. Reliable things. Next word, whatsoever things are honest. Write this down. Reputable things. Next word, whatsoever things are what? Write this down. Right things. Reliable. Watch this now. Here's what I mean by reliable. Things that are not false. Things that are not erroneous. Things that are not doctrinally unsound. Things that are not untrustworthy. Things that are true. Watch this now. Things that are not lies. Honest. Honorable things, reputable things. Things that are commendable. Things that are praiseworthy. Things that are noble. Things that are complimentary. Things that are wholesome. Is anybody listening to me tonight? Then just things. Somebody said fair things. No, no, no. Fair. When you use fair to define just, you are not doing just justice. God is not interested in being fair. If he was, we'd be in hell and Jesus would have never come to earth. Amen. When we talk about just, we're not talking about fair. We're talking about right. Justice is that which does not defy the character of God. It wasn't fair that Jesus died. It's not fair that I'm saved. But it is just because God's law required a sinless sacrifice. The high priest offers once a year to cover the sins, but they had to do it every year. But this man, the ultimate Lamb of God, died one time, not to cover our sins, but to cleanse our sins. And when he rose, God took the check that Jesus wrote and he cashed it. It cleared the bank when he rose again. And it's just that I'm going to heaven because a sinless man became sin that I might be made the righteousness of God. Just. Inward character. Write this thing down now. Not only particular descriptions to talk about inward character, but imperative cleanliness. Character, who you are. Well, what about clean? Huh? Notice the next three words. Whatsoever things are pure. Talk to me. Whatsoever things are? Write down blameless things. Next word, whatsoever things are? Write down beautiful things. Then he says, whatsoever things are of what? Write down building things. They're edifying. Blameless. Pure. Without vileness. That means it's not dirty. It's not nasty. It's not off color. Would you say amen? Watch this now. Lovely. Things that are beautiful. Not ugly things. Not unbecoming things. Not things that turn you off. Things that are pleasant. Of good report. Building things. Things that edify. Things that encourage. Things that help my spirit. Things that make me want to serve God more. Of good report. Stuff about people doing right. Not stuff about people doing wrong. Is anybody listening? Particular descriptions. Now write this down. This is where I want to end. There's a personal directive. Now, notice that Paul begins the verse with particular descriptions, but he ends it with a personal directive. And here it is. If there be any virtue, if there be any praise. Write this down. Conditional prerequisites. And really that word if is the word since. Could I ask you a question? Is there anything virtuous? Say amen. Is there anything praiseworthy? Absolutely. Okay, so we don't have to spend much time on that point, because we already know that virtue and praise does exist. The conditional prerequisites lead us to a committed placement. And here's what I want you to get tonight. Think on these things. Now, if you're taking notes in your notebook or in your Bible, write down the word think. And I want you to write down, place your mind on. Place your mind on. Now I know. Here's why I'm saying this. Because we do far too much rationalizing about our thinking, saying, my mind just went there. Here's what Paul says. Instead of saying, my mind just went there, he said, here, I want you to take your mind places. Come on. I want you to take this gift that God gave you called the mind, and I want you to intentionally direct it to certain places. Think on these things. How long do you dwell on lies? How long do you talk about them? Oh, did you hear about that lie? Did you hear who said that lie? Did you hear who lied on her? Stop thinking about lies. Honest, how much time do you spend thinking about things that are not honorable, that are not reputable, that are shady? Whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just. How much time do you spend dwelling on things that are wrong? I didn't say doing, I said thinking. You're going to do them eventually. Listen, they don't even have to be your wrongs. They can be somebody else's wrongs. He said, I don't want you thinking about them. I don't want you to place your mind on wrong. I've heard me say many a times, at the U.S. Mint, they don't study counterfeit money. They study real money. And they know the real money so well that when the fake money shows up, they can spot it. Amen. Christian people need to quit thinking about false stuff and thinking about true stuff. Amen. Quit thinking about dishonorable stuff and think about honorable stuff. Quit thinking about stuff that's wrong and start thinking about stuff that's right. What about pure? Place your mind on pure things. Now watch this. The world is full of impurity. So, if you want your mind to be on pure things in this crazy world, you're going to have to find pure stuff and give it a place to place your mind. Now, if all you do is watch television and read very little Bible, how are you going to put your mind on something that's not even in it? Help me preach. You see, that's why you need to restrict yourself. That's why it's not just about not watching something that's bad. It's about looking at something that's good. Because you want to give your mind a pure option, and you want to make the option of purity so overwhelmingly dominant to anything else. In other words, when your mind is opting as to which way it wants to go, you want purity to be so dominant because you have so overfed your mind with pure things that it's not only a logical and viable option, it's a close option. Amen. Thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against God. I want my mind to have verses and songs and good things. By the way, that's why you want to be around good people, so that when you're thinking about somebody, you got a good somebody to think about. Listen, if the only verse I had in the Bible was Philippians 4:8, it would be enough for me not to be on Facebook. Now that's me. There's a bunch of Christian people whose Facebook does a horrible job of spoon feeding you to think on everything opposite of what's in that verse. You know too much dirt on people. You see too much of people's sin. You hear too much nonsense that you don't need to hear. And I can't get you to look at me in church, not because you don't like my tie, but because your mind is so conflicted, you're trying to listen to my message while drowning out what you saw somebody do on social media. And listen to me now. I want to be able to turn around to the choir at Crossroads Baptist Church and spot an alto and see her as a child of God that's singing in her church and not as a carnal Christian that was doing something I saw on the internet. I don't want that conflict. I don't want to help my mind. By the way, as a pastor, sometimes I am privy to negative things about people that they have shared in counseling, that I've discussed, that I've discovered. Do you realize that I thank the Lord that I can stand in a pulpit and look at a crowd and not look out at the crowd and see when I see you, first thing I think of is the negative thing I know about you? You know why? Because I'm spending my week when early in the morning I'm down on my knees, God, before I can go chasing down some negative thought about brother so-and-so, I'm going to hit my knees and call brother so-and-so's name to God. And for the rest of the day, may I not think about him as a sinner that fell in that sin, but as a brother whose name is in the Lamb's Book of Life. Now, you're going to have to direct your mind that way. Do you see why he said all those verses? Dearly beloved, dearly beloved, dearly beloved. He kind of jumped in and said, Euodias and Syntyche, ooh, shame on y'all women. Shame, 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 shame. And before he could even get long on their mess up, he jumped back and said, yoke fella, help them women. You know what he was doing? Paul was saying, I don't want to be locked up in some prison cell, and every time I bring up Euodias and Syntyche in my mind, I think about them arguing women. So instead of thinking about them arguing women, I'm going to write to the church about how those women helped me in the ministry so that I have something else positive to place my mind on about the children of God, because the more negative I am about people, the more negative my mind becomes, and the more negative my mind becomes, the more negative my feelings become, and the more negative my feelings become, the negative, more negative my actions become. Do you have anything about the people of God that you have intentionally placed on your mind on that's positive? Some of you are going to never, ever get along well with another Christian because you will not let your mind think positive about him. This is not psychology, this is bibliology. Think on these things. I was several times this week, my mind wanted to think on a negative thought and deed about a child of God. And I found myself contemplating, thinking about what the child of God did. And immediately I said to my mind, you're not going there. I am not going to hold that child of God hostage in my mind. Because by holding his sin hostage in my mind, I'm not only doing him injustice, doing God injustice, I'm messing myself up. And that's why you don't need to sow the seed of negativity in the mind of another believer about another believer. It is not your job to fill in the brethren on everybody else's mistakes. It's not your job. It's not your job. You don't need to run and tell that every time. Listen. But I'm telling you what, we need some honorable things on our mind. Some true things on our mind. Some beautiful. I will tell you what's beautiful. Tell you what's beautiful. What's beautiful is when a young man that's grown up in a Muslim family gets saved, gets married and comes to church on Sunday night. What are you doing, Pastor? I'm throwing you a mind nugget to run with this week. Come on. So when the devil sows the seed of negativity about some brother or sister in Christ, you go run and think about Shazid. Amen. I'll tell you what's beautiful. What's beautiful is that young people stand up on a stage during the offering and play instruments that bring honor and glory to God. That's a beautiful thing. That's a lovely thing. I'll tell you what's not honorable. What's not honorable is men that cheat on their wives. I'll tell you what is honorable. That sitting in this building is a man been married to his wife over 50 years. Think about that this week. That's honorable. That's honorable. I'll tell you what's not just. Racism. It's not just. Amen. Immorality. It's not just. Thievery. It's not just. Bigotry. It's not just. But I'll tell you what is just. People testifying on a Sunday night about the good. Think about those things. Is anybody listening? I'll tell you what's not pure. Most of the stuff on television. And if you know it's not pure, why you want to feed your mind with it? And then battle all week long. I don't know why it won't get out my head. It won't get out your head because you keep putting it in your head. I mean, it's hard enough just to pray. Have you ever noticed that prayer is one of the most intense times that the devil sows the seed of impurity? There's not a prayer warrior in the building who can't testify to a time you were down on your knees trying to talk to God and out of nowhere some wicked thought came in your mind. And you had to look up around you to find out if the devil broke in your house in the flesh and did surgery and dropped it in, sewed you back up, couldn't even tell it ever went. I'm telling you what, prayer is so intense and spiritual warfare is so real, that's when the devil wants to show up. I'm simply saying you need to give your mind some pure thoughts, amen, so that you young people are not drowning in immorality and drowning in impurity. Listen, fellows, that lust and by the way, pornography is off the charts. Off the charts. And if the stats are right, most of you men are guilty. I pray to God they're not. I pray to God they're not. God strike me dead, I'm not. But I know people who innocently, without trying, have been hit with it. And it's one of the most besetting sins that I counsel people about, hardest to break. I saw a pastor resign a church years later because his besetting sin in adolescence of pornography, he still could not break. You got to give yourself some pure options. I'm not saying all TV is wrong. I'm just saying that most of it's not going to feed purity. Maybe you turn TV off, turn the audio Bible on. Play some songs in the house that are pure. Come on. Get you some Christian people that make you walk on eggshells when you're around them. Yeah, that you got to practice talking before you even get in the car with them because you don't even want to say shut up or F-A-R-T. Come on. Come on. There are too many people of God that are too comfortable with words that aren't considered cussing. But listen, they're not of good report. P-I-S-S. It's not of good report. Yeah, I'm pastoring now. That's not of good report. That's not a wholesome word to say. That's what I'm saying. Think on these things. How's your thought life? Directing the mind. Oh, this thing. Let me tell you something. You leave it to itself, it'll be all in the woods. All in the woods, just driving, bumping up over sticks and briars and brambles and just contaminated. I'm talking about your saved little three times a week going to church self, contaminated. Because you didn't get ahead of the game and tell your mind, you ain't going there. And I'm going to tell you why you ain't going to go there, because I'm going to make sure you're somewhere else. And you can't be two places at once. So if I occupy the pure hotel, then you can't be staying in some dirty one. I'm talking to check your mind in the purity hotel. holiness hotel and let the devil know I'm occupied. Is that challenging? Sure it is. Oh, yeah, it is. That's why we need to study scripture in context. Because jumping in passages and trying to run into some spiritual phone booth and put a big S on your chest, it may do good in the movies. But Christian life ain't based on a phone booth. You got to walk with God. Ask God to help you. Get you an accountability partner. Get around somebody. Schedule time with godly people. You know what it does? It gives your mind a better option. And by the grace of God, you won't be just reading Philippians 4:8 like a suggestion. It will be a real endeavor in which you are experiencing success. Father, thank you. Help us. Help us. Help us with these minds. Sometimes they are running. Here and there and everywhere. We sure need your help. So Lord, help us. In Jesus' name, amen.